I'm an addict. My name's Eddie. Clean today by God's grace. First things first, right? I want to thank him for everything. And when you think about, y'all know me. When you think about a topic like loving you, losing me, that sounds like some crazy shit. I'm an addict. That's not an excuse. It's a self-diagnosis. Real grateful to be here. I'd like to thank this area for asking an addict like me to come and just talk a little bit. Tell you a little bit about myself. New member, if you are new, you need to know that you are the most important person in this whole convention. It is as a result of our opportunity to pass the torch back to you that we get another day clean. So we want you to keep coming and know that we love you. And Narcotics Anonymous has a message just for you. That message is a message of hope. Same message all over the world. Narcotics Anonymous only got one. I don't got no message. Narcotics Anonymous got a good one, though. Yeah, it goes a little something like this. That an addict, any addict, now here's where you got to get in. Any. Get in with the any addict. That means you cannot be left out. Can come to Narcotics Anonymous, right? Stop using drugs. Some more things, too, if you work step. Stop using and find a new way of life. And this is what has happened to me ever since I first dotted that door November the 15th, 1990. And I'm just so utterly grateful that God, every once in a while, decides within himself to use me as a vessel of the message of recovery. My mission on any given day is to walk better than I talk. I ain't finna be no speaking dude or nothing. I'm sorry. It never was my forte. But if I want to stay clean, I have a responsibility to give back that which was so freely given to me. And when I got here on November the 15th, 1990, somebody labored in love. I would be utterly remiss if I didn't mention Avon J. Fine, upstanding member of Narcotics Anonymous. He labored in love, and what happened as a result of the love y'all gave him, he was able to share it with me, and now on any given day, I'm able to share it with somebody else. It's ironic, maybe not so, but it is ironic to me that I would be given a topic such as loving you, losing me. Who the hell is you? I tell you this, though. I'm a very crafty addict. And ain't been the first time I've been at this position. And what I don't want to do is leave here without asking for some help. Because this topic is going to rip into my spirit. And I'm going to give you the best that I got. But if I don't please you, don't take it out on Baltimore. Don't take it out on them people, man. Them people did the best they could with me. And they still loving me, man. So don't take it out on them. Here's what you do. If you don't get pleased today, May the 14th, 15th, and 16th, y'all come on down to Baltimore and experience the miracle of recovery at our convention. This is what we do. This is what we do. We come together to share in the spirit of love and unity. And I'm just so grateful that I'm a part of the message of recovery today. Hey, man, Can I just tell y'all for just a minute one little thing right here? Yeah. It's like some people in Baltimore, right? They love me cause. I swear I've been trying to figure out why, man. I've been trying to figure out why. But it's cause. You understand? And I'm just so grateful to the people in my area, man, for showing me the love. They have walked with me every day of my recovery. And y'all ain't made no jump. Y'all done built me up real good. And I'm going to do the best that I can. I got here November the 15th, 1990, on the back of another recovering addict. His name was Avon Jay, and I speak his name in reverence. New member. Get in somebody's hip pocket. Latch on to somebody. Because this is a ride you cannot take by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. And guess what? You ain't even going to be able to figure it out. But what we say, hold on and keep coming. That's what we say, right? Because what's going to happen is you're going to have a myriad of experiences, and it's going to be proven to you under no uncertain terms that no matter what, you ain't never got to use again. Never got to use again. I got here November 15th, 1990, man, and I did not believe, after having a lengthy battle with active drug addiction, hardcore dope fiend, shoot dope with needles. I shoot dope from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, excluding no areas. Didn't understand the damage that it had done. I could see the physical damage. But I didn't realize my spirit had been ripped the way it was. So I got here, man, and I was able to stay here by the love of the people that were already here. And they told me, Eddie, you know, if you want what we have to offer and you're willing to make the effort to get it. I kept watching to see what they had. They had cars and rings and shit and all that stuff. And I don't know. I don't know. I didn't just, like, get caught up with that. But what I did want was I wanted to feel better about who I was as a human being. I wanted to really be able to lay down with myself and be all right with me in my own skin. And that's something that I didn't think was ever possible. So I got here, man. I stayed, and I did what they told me. I got a sponsor, and I got a home group, and I did all of the basic stuff. New member, do what we tell you to do. Simple as that, man. It ain't no other way. Do what we tell you to do. Trust and believe. God ain't going to do the wrong thing to you. He's going to put the right people there for you at the right time. You just got to be open enough to be receptive and receive it. God ain't put no wrong people in my path, man. I wouldn't be standing here today if he did. I got clean and I stayed clean. Oops. Yeah, that was the oops. Because what the hell am I going to do now? Shot dope, man. Messing my life up. And I didn't have, here we go. Work with me right here. I didn't have what everybody else had. See, I still had open abscesses and, oh my God. But what a difference a day made. God is good, and God is good all the time. He's been good to me. And I want to always remember that. My mission today is to trust him, even though I can't trace him sometimes. Addiction is a disease that involves more than simple drug use. Now, it would be just fine if it was the dope. But it says it involves more than simple drug use. Man, my spirit was destituted. And when I got here, I stayed here, man. And I started doing the basic things that I needed to do to stay here and get some recovery. Clean time counts, but I needed some recovery. I needed to recover from that torn and broken spirit. And I stayed, and my sponsor guided me through the steps in Narcotics Anonymous, and my life started to change. It's hot up here. My life started to change. A little bit at first. But I started to want some of the things that y'all had, man. See, I didn't know how much the disease of addiction had affected and impacted my life. It says in the literature, higher mental and emotional functions such as consciousness and the ability to love were sharply affected by our drug use. Now, you need to know, I'm going to go right there, man, because y'all waiting for it. I see it on your face, you waiting for it. I ain't had but one. But there's an underlying issues, man, that was uncovered through my step work. There's a whole lot of reasons why I ain't had but one. I got here and I stayed clean, man, and I wanted more of what this thing had to offer, and I wanted what y'all say y'all was getting. Then you said you was getting some. Didn't have the ability to speak up for myself. I was shaky and insecure. But I never forget, man. I remember it like it was yesterday, man. It was at a marathon. Baltimore, we have more marathons than anybody I know. Please come on down. We do it all the time, and we do it for y'all. That's who we do it for. Y'all come on down. I was at the marathon. And I had been secretly watching this young lady. Y'all didn't know I was watching her. I remember some of the stuff that I used to do. But I was secretly watching her, man, and just contemplating and wishing that, you know, that she would even, like, say something to me. But I had a glorious story that I lived with most of my life. When I was in elementary school, there was a pretty girl that used to sit next to me. Her name was Gloria. She had pretty hair. She was the prettiest thing I ever seen in my life. And she sat next to me in school, and she never paid me no attention. Never paid me. I loved it in her, man. I had loved it in her. She never would even look at me, man, because, see, I didn't look quite like my shoes, But I was smart, man. I was academically inclined. I was real smart, man. And I was willing to give her whatever I had because she was as dumb as a box of bricks. And I was finna let her cheat off my paper. That's all I had. I give you whatever I got. Just look at me and, you know, just act like you might want to, like, treat me like you treat them and the rest of them. And always, like, I grew up with that feeling, you know, because that's some shit you tuck. I don't know. I tuck that shit, man. I tuck that. And I understood, man, that I would be willing at any given point, based on what I wanted or needed from you, I'd do anything. I was peeping at her in the meeting, in the marathon. And I'm watching the door because, man, if she coming here, this shit going to change. I'm telling you right now. So I'm going to hurry up because she might come in that moment. I peeped. And, you know, I don't know about if you ever stalked or peeped or whatever. I don't know if you ever did it or not. But you ever, when you get caught. Like when you get caught, right? And I'm not talking about just in the sense of the physical, you know, like getting knocked off physically. I'm talking about when somebody catch you and their eyes pierce your eyes and their eyes go right to the inside of your heart and they see you for who you are. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I peeked one time and she caught me. Bam! It was like electricity shock. I'm like, oh damn, what the hell I'm gonna do now? Because you know she ain't going to want you, man.
You shot dope in your head, in your testicles, the bottom of your feet, the crack of your ass. She ain't gonna want you. Look at you. You got marks from the, you better not say nothing to her. You got the thing talks. The thing talks. It tells me stuff. And she got up to walk out of the meeting, man. And somewhere, I don't know, I mustered up like a little minute courage. And I said, this is it. I better make a move right now because she's finna go. And I may be able to turn around my Gloria experience right here. I've been clean for a minute, man. I'm good. I ain't did nothing wrong. I ain't stole nothing or nothing. You know what I'm saying? And so she walked away, and I got up, and I started walking behind her, man. I didn't know that I had lost the ability to love and to receive. I didn't know what that was, but I knew that I had something inside of me that would be willing to do whatever. Let me stop right here. Do whatever. I'm an addict. What does that mean? That means sometimes I don't do enough, and other times I do too damn much. Now fill in the blank. And I was running on what I wanted. I wanted some acceptance and validation. I wanted somebody to look me in my eyes and say to me, "You all right." I didn't know I needed that shit. And she started walking out, man. And she's walking out with the person that I found out later was a sponsor. And they were walking, going down Silver Moon or something. And they was walking, and I was walking behind them, you know, just walking behind them, man. Because I was trying to figure out what to say, man. Because I didn't want to lie. I didn't want to say no bullshit. I mean, what to say? What can I say that'll make you, what can I say, man? Nobody never told me what to say. And she took a minute. She said, "Where are you going?" I still remember how that shit felt. Damn, I didn't know what to say. I'm going with you. I'm telling you, like right now, I've grown in my emotional stability, man, but I remember how it was. It wasn't always like that. Very emotionally insecure. Very. And it went from "where are you going" to a wedding. I'm going to give you some in-between shit, right? Because it's the in-between shit that tells you to measure my growth. I need to be able to gauge my growth, man. I need to be able to let you know. Remember what I said in the beginning. Don't walk away without hearing me. I need some fucking help, man. When it comes to my emotional security, I need some damn help. I ain't got it in and of my own. But new member, what you need to know, that it is here. And that's why I still come here. I'm a meeting maker, man. I go to meetings. I connect with my sponsor. I connect with my sponsees. I help people. I do whatever I can do, man, to put insurance on another day. Because on any given day, the best thing I may get away with is not putting something in me. And I'm grateful for that. So here it is, like in between. I don't know about my defects and issues, and all I know is I'm running on the "I want her." But I made a commitment to myself. Commitment is a spiritual principle. I wasn't no real godly dude or nothing, man. But I made a commitment to myself. I said, "You know what? You know what, self? You and them other two motherfuckers,
You know the other two, right? Me, myself, and I. You know, you and them other two. Your whole life, you ain't never really put your best foot forward and try to do something right. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. You got a chance. God ain't give me the woman. He gave me the opportunity to grow as a man. I believe that with my heart. And I said, you know what? Self and you two other motherfuckers. We gonna ride to die. We're gonna ride to die. And I started like demonstrating certain behaviors, man, that would profess my profound love for this person. Now what you need to know is, man, I ain't never done no shit like that. Mm-mm. They said, Eddie, where you going? I'm going home, man. Eddie, what you got, flowers? You messed up again? No, I just love her enough to give her flowers for nothing. You know what I'm saying? B, I watched you do some shit, man. I did, man. I took the lead from some guys that I knew was just trying to be the best men that they could be. I ain't know how to do that shit. Rub feet and shit, man. I do feet. Well, I can't tell you my skills. Take it down a notch. Take it down a notch, right? What I understand is like selflessly, right? In any encounter that I have with some other human being that I believe that I need an extension of love from them, I need to be selfless. Here's the addict part. I got to get that shit up and try, even if I might not get it back. I got to be willing to do, even if you might not get done. Ooh, boy, that's hard for an addict. Hey, fuck that two in the bush. Give me the one in the hand. I'm just trying to tell you. But I was driven. I was driven, man. I was driven. And there's differences. And people are different. And men and women are different. We have differences, natural differences. And my intellectual ass said, you know, hey, look, our differences can work for us. They can be our strength. I didn't know what the fuck I was talking about. Shit sound good. You ever try to hold on to something that wanted to go away and you didn't want it to go, and you try to hold on to some shit? I'm trying to figure out, it's almost time for me to quit, ain't it? Oh, okay. I'm trying to figure out, like, why? Dangerous question. Right? After 15 years, I'm saying we was like doing the damn thing. You know, we was an icon in Baltimore. They know. Ask them. They saw us. We was. Eddie and Miss, you know. And I had liked it at that, man. I'm going to tell you why. Because for real, man, I'm so weak, it's a damn shame. But I know that if I just stay committed, I'm good. If I just keep walking in the path, I'm good. I ain't got to worry about all that other bullshit. I ain't got to worry. I'm going home. Felt good about going home. But it was some things going down. And I don't even know how to tell y'all about the things going down without telling you about her. And I don't want to tell you about her because it's not about her. And I don't want y'all defamating her character because it's not for me to do that. But what I realized, man, that as a result of some of the choices and decisions that I made based on my feelings and my emotions, wasn't quite right. Assessment that I made. Because, you know, you got to do an inventory after a breakup.
Right.
But I need to tell you, man, I held on to that shit. God knows I held on to that shit. I grabbed her by her ankles. I said, for God's sake, don't. Ooh, my God, don't leave me. Don't do that. Do anything. I don't care what you do. Whatever, you go with him and you can come back, bring him with you. I don't give a fuck. Don't leave me, though. What the fuck is that all about, man? What the fuck is that? Why? You know what I'm saying, shorty? Why? What the fuck? I gave you my best shit. I ain't had no more. Gave you my best shit. And she kept saying shit like, it ain't about you.
Fuck that. Yeah, it is about me. You lost your damn mind. I done put some years in this shit. Do you know how many times I could have done some other shit? Didn't know God was using her to get to me to build me up. Didn't know that at the time. Didn't know that. Was running on my own thing. I want what I want when I want it. I like to dance. Right? It's some fucked up shit right here. I like to dance, right? And I remember I wanted her to, like, you know, like, let's go dance with me. We can go to the school thing and what, you know, they teach you and stuff. We can, me and you, let's go dance because I like it. I can't do that. I can't do that. Like, fuck. Y'all should see her now. Y'all seen her at the dance, ain't you? I had to dance with her a couple times myself since then. But anyway. See, what I understand is that for myself, you know, it is through my trials and tribulations and through my adversities that God gets an opportunity to build me up. He gets an opportunity to build my character. But I need to tell you, man, I went to the lowest of lows before I started looking up. I swear to God I did. And if I could have done anything to make her stay, I would have done it. I need to tell you, I would have done it. And I couldn't let y'all see me as I was going through. I thought y'all didn't see me, but y'all did. I swear to God, I thought y'all didn't see me. I wasn't eating. I looked like I was using. I was going to work, coming home, putting on my going through hoodie. Thank you. Put on my going through hoodie, and I was laying in that basement, man, and I ball up underneath of that goddamn futon, and I rocked myself against that goddamn wall, and I was like, God, why me? Goddamn. What the fuck? I ain't what I do. You know, because I would have made it right, man. If I would have done something, I would have made it right. You ain't do nothing, Eddie. You just stood in the gap. You know? And it wasn't until I was able to, like, reach out to some of my sponsees, man, and they was telling me I can get up, man. Just come on, Eddie. Come on. We got you. Come on. Love you, man. I swear to God. If the people, see, we need people connection. That's where I fucked up in my life. It separate from people, right? So I get better, man. We go through a lot of bullshit, and I made a decision. I said, you know what? I'm not going to lose myself in this bullshit. We're going to go out the right way. I don't know what that is, but here's what I meant, though. I didn't want no whole lot. Fuck you. Well, fuck you, man. Well, fuck you, too. I didn't want that. Can I tell y'all a secret why I didn't want it? She might. You know what I'm saying? She might. And I sat in that damn basement many nights saying, she might. No, she ain't. She might, though. No, she ain't. She's moved on with her life, man, and she's a fine, upstanding member of Narcotics Anonymous, and I swear to God, you'll never hear me defamate her character. She ain't done nothing to me. She hasn't. She made some decisions for herself that she needed to make for herself for whatever reason, and I just was affected in a certain way because I was doing things the way that I was doing. One of the things that I was doing was I was putting on the wrong goddamn shoes. I had shoes that was too big. G-O-D shoes, you know, G-O-D shoes. But what a difference a day make, man. What a difference a day make. Through the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous and my loving relationship with my sponsor and the people that really care about me and her as well, we were able to get through, man. I gotta tell you, though, and Thomas told me the other day when we was in Detroit, man, I didn't know that I was doing this because what has happened is some residual that don't allow me to effectively connect with anybody else, man. And I want to connect with somebody else so bad so I can know that I done left that shit alone. That shit hurt me so bad I needed to leave it alone, but I'm not able to effectively connect with somebody else. And Thomas told me why. He said, boy, you still fanning the flame back there. I'm saying, if she asked me for a little bit of help, I can help. But you know what I mean? I ain't mad at her, nothing, you know. You got to let it go, Eddie. Oh, fuck. And every time you let it go and reach back there and touch it, man, you fan the flame just a little bit more. So, I need help.
I need help. I need help, man, because it's not like that today, but I'm a lot better off than I was, you know? I'm a lot better off than I was, man. I know how important it is for me to stay connected. I know how important it is for me to keep sharing honestly about myself. I want to be the guy God want me to be. And he may want me to be somebody that ain't inclusive of you. It's just me wanting what I want. And I'm an addict, and I got to be aware of wanting what I want. So what I said was, as I draw to a close, man, I'm going to try to do this. I hope y'all don't, like, get on me or nothing, though. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see.
Our next speaker is Karen H.
Hey, Karen! I'm an addict. My name's Karen. I'd have to wait for things to settle down a second. I get distracted so easily, you know. Anyway, I want to thank Eddie, my dear to my heart. He got clean 30 days before I did, and I detoxed in the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous. And I remember that I went up to some meeting. They took me to North Avenue, and it was one of them, you can either cold turkey it or you can go to a detox. But we must have total abstinence in order to recover. And I didn't have an opportunity to go to detox, and I had a habit for like 20 some years, and I go to the meeting, I couldn't hold my bowels or none of that stuff, and Eddie said neither could I, just sit on down. And and another thing that he said to me was, because I couldn't stay out of the bathroom, and he said, we got a paper bag for you if you want that. And I just want to share that, like, you all in Narcotics Anonymous allowed me, this addict, to detox from a habit in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and kept telling me to come back. So I want to, first and foremost, I want to thank God for everything. Just for everything, and I want to extend the warmest welcome to you if you're new. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Nothing has ever been so great for me than the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Nothing. So like, I want to let you know that I am truly, truly honored, and I'm absolutely humbled that I'm asked to come here and share my experience, strengths, and hopes with you. It does something to me. It lets me know, like, I am nobody without you. And the topic, loving you, losing me, if it was, look, my clean date's December 23rd, 1990. Right? And let me say, right now, as of this day, I have one God, and I have one sponsor, I have one home group, I have one clean date, and the miracle is I even have just one man. Right? Look, that stuff wasn't in my story. Just wasn't in my story. You know, long time ago, long, long time ago, I gave my soul away, and I searched for many, 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 many years trying to get it back. And it wasn't like I even had a choice whether I gave it away. It was just like my spirit was just ripped out from under me. There was a major tragedy that happened in my life. And if it wasn't for the principles and a loving God that I didn't believe in when I got here, but I knew there was a God, but I had to tell you there wasn't. Because I always had this spiritual warfare going on. I wanted to do right, but I hated God because of the tragedy that happened so bad in my life. Because if I admitted that there was a God, there couldn't be a loving God. And because of all the deep shame and the guilt of all them years trying to search to get my spirit back, I knew there couldn't be a God that loved me. So like all throughout my years of recovery, there was a whole lot of loving you losing me. And when they called me for the topic, I want to just let you know like how this program works. And when they called me for the topic, the first thing, see, when I was new, I loved all that. Is it love or lust? You know, lust is when you're like, right, Ron sharing on that tonight, looking from the neck down. I found out so much different, right? And the first thing I thought was like, wow, like they gave me that topic. I had to lose me to love you. And I'm talking about a unconditional love. But it was all the opposite. It took many years in recovery. So like I had, when I was a little, when I was this bright, this thing moves down. There was like, I was like this bright, intelligent little girl with dreams and hopes and aspirations. And I wanted to be a school teacher. And man, I just had the zest for life. I was even the flower girl in first grade. I'm talking like anything excited me. And I didn't know that mom and dad had the disease of addiction. My father was a Baltimore City homicide detective, right? He left the police force. They went and got this business that fed their disease, and they left me and my sister. And I couldn't understand, what did I do that they left me? I didn't know we put the welfare of our youth in ahead of everything. Everything. And like they didn't have any choice but to take us here and take us there and leave us here. I'm coming back to get you. And all of a sudden, they don't come back to get us. And they had one last stop. And it was at my grandmother's house, who was married to this man who was a prisoner camp guard in World War II. And listen, he chose me to be his next victim. And I was tortured terribly for many, many, many years. And I learned how to emotionally just check out. And the only way I survived that was I was able to learn to stare at a wall. And I was tied up and I was gagged and I was tortured and I was raped. And like he would take me the next day like the good grandfather and walk me around. And there was this big weeping willow tree. I'll never forget it. It took me to have 10 years clean to realize those trees are beautiful. It might not sound like a big deal to you, but it's a big deal to me. And the next day I would get punished because he would tell me when to get up. All I wanted was my mom. And he'd tell me when I could get up and I'd run downstairs. I want my mom. And me and my grandmother would beat me. And it was a vicious cycle. And he'd walk me around the neighborhood like the good grandfather. And there was this big weeping willow tree, right? And he would make me stand under it. And he would time it. And he told me there were snakes in this tree. I don't even know why I'm sharing this, but I guess I'm supposed to. And there were snakes in this weeping willow tree. And he would time it. And I remember standing under there going, God, don't let them snakes hit me. And he'd say, your time's up, and if you can be a good girl today, you know, you might not have to come back to the snakes tomorrow. I'm talking the messages. Listen, I had a habit when I was 13 it started. I started using when I was 9. I couldn't deal the pain. I couldn't suffer no more. And I used from the time I was 9 till I got clean when I was 29. And it's only by God's grace. But remember, when I came in here, I didn't believe in God. I told you I didn't. And like I had all this confusion and this contradiction going on. I ain't putting nothing in me. I'm searching all in here just to get something back. Something make me feel good. And throughout my using, I would get in relationships and the same experience. Look, I'll do anything. Don't leave me. Just don't leave me. I remember I was in this relationship and I was using. And they had met somebody else. Now, look, I'm out my mind. I mean, I'm really like, Adam, look, when I got here, I couldn't read, I couldn't write, I couldn't nothing. I stuttered, I had overdosed many times. And I remember they told me they met somebody and they were driving to Virginia to see if they wanted. Now, we're in this full-fledged relationship. I'm going to talk about the gift of desperation. And they told me they wanted to go down there and see if they wanted them or me. And out of the deep suffering and like trying to get high more and trying to get high more and the pain wouldn't go away. And I was like, I hope when you come back, you still want me. I'm talking a desperation of something that was taken from me so early on that I could never find again until I got to Narcotics Anonymous. And like, I remembered that through step work, and I put it on my fourth step under resentments, because I was really, like, angry about that. And I wasn't as angry as them. I was angry at me and angry that I could be so desperate. Because, see, on the streets, right, you know, it's like, you know how we do. We got to have the mask and nothing bothers us. And we come in here and I still want to act the same way. But I'm still feeling the same way. You all knew different. And I started searching in here for something. See, I was the addict that still believed. I didn't know that there wasn't something outside of me, right, that couldn't fix me. And I was restored to sanity at certain times in my life, but as soon as I didn't like how I felt, the obsession and the compulsion would hit me and I'd get the fixed idea and I couldn't stop. You know, something ain't right when you're sneaking out at night, clean. Thinking you're cutie on duty with the trench coat on. And building upon the secrets that I already had. Loving you, losing me. I want to share with you how I got to really, really love you. And I'm talking as far as I am so concerned about what happens to you in your life. It took a whole lot of, like Eddie was sharing, it took a whole lot. I didn't know I had character defects. I didn't know, like, I would be in the triangle of self-obsession. I didn't know how to. I got a fixed idea. I didn't even know, like, true addiction was obsession and compulsion. I didn't know that, like, I didn't like how I felt, and that's why I was looking for something outside myself to fix what was wrong with me, all them feelings. And the more step work I did, right? The more step work I did, the more I was able to see me. And the good news is today, for the most part, I can see myself coming. I don't have to look outside of myself and let the disease of addiction just run my life and hit me. I'm not saying it don't. I don't have to look outside myself to continue to go on this search and continue to go on this search. And I remember my sponsor said something about God, and I said, I don't believe in God. And she said, and why is that? And I said, he dealt me a raw hand. And she said, what are you talking about? If you don't believe in God, who is he that dealt you the raw hand? And I said, oh, I am some shit, ain't I? Look, a dope fiend can't dope fiend a dope fiend. I think God put us all together right here in this beautiful program and Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, right? Because we know when you're high. This thing is a life-saving program. We got life-saving literature. Listen, newcomer, this thing is life or death. Cut and dry. Somebody said to me, right, you know how we say jails, institutions, and death. They said, no, ready or dead. Right? Somebody just used that line somewhere. They were at our home. I said, I'm going to share that. Ready or dead. Because we used to say, ready or not, you know. Ready or dead. So like, through the step process of Narcotics Anonymous, I learned to be able to see, like, what made me tick, man. What was it that was so devastating in my life that I'm so desperate for you to love me, and on the other side calling it I love you, and like, what was this vicious cycle I was in? And a lot of things started happening where I had to learn about me to be able to see myself coming. A few things would happen. I would have these sayings like, I can't believe you did this, all I've done for you. Right? And calling myself unconditional. All I've done. How about this one? If you loved me, you would.
Right?
Right? Or if you loved me, you wouldn't do this to me. So I would call it like love, but really I had this great illusion of control. Because I had no control of a little one as a little one. So the whole thing in my life, especially all the times I got locked up and in trouble, would be, you know, you got in it, you get out of it. You made your bed, now you lay in it. I'm talking some deep messages that drove me in here. It was real hard for me to get with the concept of we. And people would say, look, Karen, you gotta change the tapes. Take that old tape out and put the new one in. And I'd say, well, what is the new one? Because I was so desperate. I was as clean as I was going to be. And somebody told me, if you want to know, because I thought I was this great recovering addict, let me let you know our literature says there are no role model addicts. I come here, clean up, and want to rewrite the literature. Right? No role model addicts. So I'm on this search, and the devastation, and the being in the corner in the ball of self-pity. Couldn't stay committed in a relationship. And thought just because I'd be on the phone with them, right, that the emotional stuff didn't count. And I would not only be in the triangle of self-obsession, but I would create triangles. Me, them, and them. And there was no way that me and them could be me and them, because there was them here, and there was no intimacy here, and I had living two lives here clean. Couldn't even go to a workshop. What is it? Living dirty, staying clean, or something like that? I ain't going there. Listen, if we ain't ready to stop, we ain't ready to stop. And somebody say, Karen, if you want to know where you're at in your recovery, look who you're sleeping with. And I thought that was like real cute because there was more than one. And because of the mask I put on and the defenses, and I still had that street stuff, I was like, oh, you know, like which one? Look, that stuff was killing me on the inside. Just as the drug didn't work, that didn't work. The gambling didn't work. The eating didn't work. The lottery tickets didn't work. If I just had that big one. If I just hit the big one, man. Look, addicts are funny with money. Because it was always if, then everything would be all right. So, like, even though people would say things to me, and I would act as if it didn't bother me, when I would go home to lay my head down to sleep, and I couldn't sleep, not because I wasn't tired, because that thing was screaming on the inside, and I would just lay there and rock, and rock, and rock. And like, I really, like, wanted help because, see, I couldn't ever get the right help because I wouldn't tell you the right truth. You can only help me based on what I tell you. And I could never tell you, like, the whole story. And I realized through step work that omission was lying. So I'm running around here all bound up on the inside, telling you half-truths, living a half-life, excited about Narcotics Anonymous, but dragging this old way of life around with me. And after like sharing my first fifth step with a sponsor, everything that was on there and them relationships and all this other stuff, I'm like, I ain't doing that no more. I'm not going to do that no more. And it was written by me every time in a relationship, I wouldn't have done this if they just would have done that. But I would stay. See, I could get in relationships, but I didn't know how to get out because I was so desperate and I didn't know what love was, and I would call all of it love. If I wasn't wrong, I'd tell you how sorry I was anyway. Just don't leave me. Not even knowing why I'm apologizing. Just don't leave me. And it's a desperation that so many times has almost backed me into a corner that our literature says we might not get out of clean. Because, see, we ain't putting nothing in us. The pain is deep. And I came in here with wide open wounds. And now, because the healing does take place here, it's like I got some thick scars. So somebody might say something or do something, and I get that twinge, right? But it's not that, ah! And I was able, throughout my recovery, to build a relationship with my mom and dad. They got clean, my sister got clean, then I got clean. And by being able to humbly ask God to remove all my shortcomings, everything was so about me, and be able to have the evidence right there on the inside that I'm changing, that I, even the act of like asking this God that I didn't have this great relationship with, changing my life, showed me. It was like my first like experience that this God really does love me. It took me years. Years clean to believe that this loving God was a loving God and loved me. And like the spiritual growth that started taking place because I was so willing to make this list. It's easy to put people on a list that, like, I harmed when I was using. But what about, like, clean? The people using, for the most part, like, they were just grateful that I wasn't, didn't have drugs in me. But what about the people here in Narcotics Anonymous that I'm trying to live up to this image, acting like Eddie said, like, we don't think you can see us. Acting like I didn't hurt you and living like I was on the streets going to this crowd and that crowd and that crowd because I couldn't face me. I was calling everything out, even service work, in the name of love. Until I didn't get the position I wanted. Because I went from, it was an honor and a privilege to serve this fellowship, to don't you know who I am? And something happens, it's like this loving God, even when I think I got it, this loving God lets me know I don't. And even when I don't think I got it, this loving God lets me know I don't. There is nothing more pleasing to me than to serve this fellowship, to see what I can do for you. I'm so grateful for all of our literature because people would run around here saying, this is a selfish program and this is for me. And people said that, right? We get our literature, it works out and why it comes out. And in the 12 steps, it says, this is a selfless program. But until I was able to get this relationship with God and continue on a regular basis to humbly ask Him to remove all my shortcomings so that I can better serve God, I couldn't love you. Sex equaled love. If they don't want to have sex tonight, they don't love me. We get in an argument, let's have sex. I'm talking a lot of distorted, what equaled love. A lot of distortion. I know today it's just like, you know, how can I share what has been so freely given to me with you? And in order for me to do that, I had to truly lose who I was. And it's not a lifetime thing. It's not like it's all gone. I'm talking on a vigilant and knowing that God is the most important. I'm talking being aware of what endangers my recovery just on this day. Just this day. And through the program in Narcotics Anonymous and continuing to build my relationship with God and continuing to build my relationship with you and continuing to build my relationship with anybody that comes in contact with me, I'm able to love you because the old me's not there for the most part. I had motives for everything. Everything. I mean everything. One of the greatest things that ever happened to me was my first 9 step. And I always said, if my mom and dad, if they just would have gave me up for adoption, if they just wouldn't have left my life, if they wouldn't be like this, if that, if this, if that, I would be all right. And I never knew that my mom truly loved me. Never. I never knew that. I knew she loved my sister. Never knew she truly loved me. And I had my mom on the list because, see, my mom, back in the day after, like all the torture and all that stuff came out, my mom wound up in Phipps Clinic down at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore City. And back in the day, it was the crazy ward. and all the kids would make fun of my mom. And then they'd make fun of me like, there's that crazy girl with the crazy mom. And like I had my mom on my first date step list, and I sat down with her, and I'm like, Mom, I'm so sorry for how I treated you. And I named the things that I knew she knew. Like being so ashamed to go see her at Johns Hopkins Phipps Clinic. And my mom would say to my dad, can you please have her come see me? And I'd slam dope more. And so it was all the things that I named that my mom knew. And I told her I was so sorry, and she looked me dead in the eye. She said, I have one thing to say to you. She said, if there was any way at all possible that I could do this whole thing different raising you, I would do it so much different. I am so sorry. And at that moment, something happened. I know God changes our hearts. And if there's anything at that moment, all the way up to this day, that I want to change about my mom, let me tell you what it is. It is absolutely nothing. Which in turn has been able to teach me, if there's anything I want to change about you, it's nothing. I can love you for just who you are, not in spite of yourself. Our literature don't say in spite of ourselves. I understand that you suffer just like I do. I understand if you were in my skin, for one day you'd have all the compassion in the world for me. In turn, if I was in your skin for one day, I'd have all the compassion in the world for you. I know we all have our deep struggles, each and every one of us. I don't care how long we've been clean. So yeah, I called it loving you, losing me, and it wasn't loving you. It was I wanted something. Everything I've done for you, can't you do this for me? Don't you see what you're doing? Look, I had to lose all of me to love you just like you are. I can't thank God enough for Narcotics Anonymous. I can't thank God for enough of everything that's happened today, and the day ain't even over. So again, I want to thank the CPR. Oh, my mom's here, not in the meeting. I didn't tell her the time I was sharing. I'm like, come on, Mom. She's like, just bring me the CDs, you know. I'm like, come on, Mom, you know. Mom's the boss. I have the utmost respect for her. She got the CPR CNA rate. She said she might come over here and get a registration. I said, you just let me know, Mom. Precious. Precious. Stayed married to my father 47 years. My father just passed away. Right? I want to thank CPR CNA for just asking me to come share. I told you, it does something for me just knowing. Just knowing that the presence of God is in my life. And just knowing that, like, it is so imperative to me to know, to just know that I can come to Narcotics Anonymous and be just who I am. The true value is in being ourselves. And I had to find out who that was. I want to thank Eddie for all the chicken boxes, right? Chicken wings. He got me when I got clean. I ain't kidding, I was starving. I was hungry. And you'd share a chicken box, right, Eddie? Wasn't it $2? And allow me to detox and be like, help! I just want to use somebody help. Help me, please. Just help me. I want to thank each and every person who allowed me to detox in the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous that told me, look, Karen, don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle happens. That stayed up on the phone with me all night. All night. We didn't have call waiting and pagers and voicemails, and we had our blue phone book. And if one number was busy, you called the next, and you didn't know what to say. So, newcomer, listen, I want to, again, extend you the warmest welcome. We know where you've been because we've been there. So thank you for allowing me to love you. I'm an addict. My name's Karen.